Welcome to Money Moves. This is a program that is light on judgment, light on jargon, heavy on actionable financial advice. I'm Jill Schlesinger, and I'm here with Mark Tallercio. We are both CFPs. Well, first of all, do you like our new chairs? We love them. Thank you so much for writing in with all of your hate, because I hated those chairs also. So just to be clear, Mark Tallercio loves Sex and the City. Yeah, it is actually his favorite television series of all time.
Yeah, that could be an accurate statement. It's definitely top three forever. Most people don't realize that. I've seen the whole entire show many times over.
Okay,
many
Isaac times. Is dying right now. It's amazing.
Great show.
And who are you? Which of the four are you?
Well, I'm not Samantha. I'm not Carrie. I'm not Charlotte. I would probably be Miranda.
Dude, you are a Miranda for sure. Yeah. And so what is great about this is that someone wrote in that you look like Steve, Miranda's husband.
Very appropriate.
And then ex-husband. The younger brother of Steve.
Yeah.
I love that.
Steve was a great character. I liked him.
You liked him?
Mm-hmm.
He's all right.
Aiden or Big?
I was always a Big.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Aiden too, though. I liked them both.
You just like that hulking Aiden type. That's really, it's your
country
type,
boy,
isn't it?
The country boy.
You like that country
making
boy?
Making his furniture, yeah, sanding everything like down, that. Redoing the floors, you know, while she's out cheating on him.
Shockingly, Mark is not gay. He is married to a woman. And I don't think he's ever kissed a man. So I'm just telling everybody, don't get too excited.
Great show.
All right, great show is right. And you are getting many comments about your looks. So for everybody who's listening, this is the moment where I tell you, please go subscribe to the YouTube channel, Money Moves, because you will be able to see Mark. And there is nothing better than that I get to see you in real time. So, Mark, I want to talk about a few things. First of all, we've been getting incredible people on the air with us. So tell the folks, how are they going to get in touch with us?
The simplest, easiest, most efficient way, JillOnMoney.com. You will see a contact button. Click it, and it is very self-explanatory.
And the cool thing is that, like, okay, on our other show, we do, like, mini financial plans. You don't have to do a whole financial plan. You can have a distinct question. You can have a general question. There's all different ways, but don't be shy. And, of course, if you see some cockamamie financial advice out there, send us the clip. So let's talk about what we're going to do today. I think it is time to talk about the world of Ponzi schemes, because we've got some great information that's been out there. You know, this story, Mark, that Jason Zweig recounts is kind of crazy. It's about this guy, Paul Reagan, I don't know how he pronounces it, who's recording himself charming and manipulating investors to teach his salespeople how to do it too. And this, to me, is a perfect moment to just take a breath. Stock market's been going up for a few years. There's a lot of people selling crap. Let's talk about how you can kind of dive into the world of Ponzi schemes and how people can protect themselves.
I mean, Ponzi schemes, scams, this is all under one giant umbrella. It's insane. I get calls every single day. I don't know about you. Do you get calls? Like scam calls?
I think that I get scam texts, but I don't get
texts
calls.
And I get phone calls. In fact, this morning on the train, every day, my friend Carolyn calls me. Carolyn, that's her name. Do you want to hear the message? I actually saved it purposely today.
All right.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to play this cut for you guys.
All right.
I get this every single
this
day.
This is great video. We're going to just Mark is actually going onto his phone.
Let me take off the silence feature.
All right. Take off the silence feature.
Just listen
right
to Carolyn.
Now.
This is my pal Carolyn.
Okay. Hold on. Go.
Hi, good morning. This is Carolyn calling with Universal Tax Defense. I'm following up today because I was reviewing accounts and yours still appears to have a possible unresolved balance that may need attention before additional fees, notices, or collection steps move forward. I know this can feel stressful, but the review is quick and straightforward. Many individuals are qualifying right now for lower payment options, account adjustments, or other resolution programs depending on their filing status and account history. Please call me back.
Yeah, you get the point. That's Carolyn. That's my pal. Every day I
get
her.
But do you not block that number?
I do, but it keeps on. You know, you block, you report spam, you delete it, but you know, somehow they still have your number and it comes in every day.
Okay, so I want to do two different things. I want to talk about scams, and then we're also going to talk about Ponzi schemes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's since we are on the scam thing. The scams are going to get so much more sophisticated with AI. It's going to be insane. People are not going to be able to understand, like, who is your friend, who's not. If, for example, someone like me or you, whose voices are out in the universe, that will be able to be replicated.
Right, yeah.
And that's going to say, and I've already been scammed. Remember, we had somebody who used my name and pushed out a scam of something.
Oh, like trying to sell
social media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the first thing to do is to understand that most of what you're seeing when it comes like to your phone specifically is baloney. You should not pick up a number that you don't know. And it can often look like it's coming from a legitimate source.
Yeah.
And so there are kind of two big scams that I think are that lure people very easily. One is it looks like it's coming from a telecom company, so AT&T or Verizon. It'll pop up on your phone. It'll say the name of the company. It looks legitimate. You pick it up and it says, someone has broken into your account. Here's what you need to do. As soon as that happens, hang up. Then go to your Verizon, your AT&T, your credit card company, whatever, anything like that. Use the number that is the actual number on the card or the account. You call to say, has there been any data breach?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 9 times out of 10, there has not been.
Of course.
Right? So that's scam 101. And scam 201 would be you get a call that appears to be from the IRS.
I knew you were going to say the IRS.
And
like this, taxes.
Like taxes. This is important. The IRS will not call you.
No, believe it or not, they actually use snail mail.
Snail mail. That's it. And they're not going to text you, call you, or email you. They're just not.
People fall for this crap all the time. Otherwise, it wouldn't keep going on. Obviously, people are falling for it over and over and over.
But I think that the thing that a scam and a Ponzi scheme share is the exploitation of our emotional bodies. That's what they're good at.
There's always a sense of urgency.
Right.
It has to happen right away.
Right.
Something bad's going to happen.
So it's like for the scam, it's like, oh my God, something terrible has happened. For the Ponzi scheme, it's, oh, you're missing out. So, you know, listen, my favorite Ponzi scheme of all is, of course, the Bernie Madoffs.
Oh, man.
Okay. So for many years, I was in the financial services industry. I had clients who would say to me, I heard about this guy Madoff, and I heard about this investing, and all he does is just give you the same return every year. And I said, that's impossible. Like, I've never heard of anything like that. So Ponzi schemes are often too good to be true, either like smoothing out volatility or get rich quick. But either way, if you have any investment that's put in your lap and you don't understand it or you feel like it's a little bit too good to be true, get somebody else to put eyes on it. Get a third party.
You said it. If it seems too good to be true,
it probably is. The other thing that I think is interesting about a Ponzi scheme is that it works really well when you're in periods of greed. So in other words, like in general, I think there's two emotions when it comes to investing. There's fear and there's greed, right? So when there's greed right now, you're like, I want in. But fear could be the same point. People are saying, like, friggin' Jamie Dimon goes on CNBC this morning, by the way, as we record this in July, that would like, oh, people are underestimating the risk, which is funny as his financial people are peddling their crap anyway. So, okay, you're worried about the market going down. So then someone says, oh, I have something that won't go down ever. So either it is something that is impossible to achieve or it's some complex product that's really expensive. Either way, get another person to look at it.
I always remember years ago when we had Ken Langone, like the billionaire co-founder of the Home Depot.
Yeah.
And he had some dealings with Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
Like when the, you know what, was hitting the fan. And he said, man, that guy is slick.
Yeah. He was funny because it was when he was telling the story, it was like when Madoff was like really in his heyday.
Yeah.
And he said, I got a bad feeling from that guy. And I knew people who looked at these accounts and said, we cannot reverse engineer how this guy is doing this. So you're not going to do that. If you have a question, if you run across something that's too good to be true, if you feel like something is weird, if you just get unnerved by a call, a text, again, put down the phone, put down the device, be very calm. We have a colleague here at CBS, Mark, who was told, like, go to your bank, take money out. There is this woman from New York Magazine who got scammed out of a ton of money because she felt that she had to get this amount. It was like, I had 50 grand.
And people killed her.
Charlotte Cowles is her name. And she's lovely. And it was very brave of her to go out there and do
this.
Yeah,
because she got killed. This is your job. This is what you write about.
But you know what? Because we are all emotional. We can all fall prey to it. So if you are feeling that, if something comes in, as soon as you feel your heart race, stop. Put the phone down. Go to your credit card, look at the number on the back of the card. Go to your account, go to your actual Verizon account. Call your bank directly. Do not stay on the phone with these people. Get off the phone. Do not give your social security number. Do not pass go. Okay, it is time for a Jillionaire question. We are so excited to have Jenna joining us from the Pacific Northwest. Jenna, for those of you not watching, is a huge Lady Gaga fan. Not because she is dressed as such, because she has a Lady Gaga poster in the background. So first of all, Jenna, favorite Lady Gaga song, go.
I mean, Poker Face.
Of course, right, exactly. Mark
Theo loves that song.
Oh, Mark's son loves that song also, so that's amazing. Jenna, besides telling us about Lady Gaga, what brings you to us today?
Well, what I wanted to talk to you about is CoastFi. It's been all over my algorithm, maybe because that's what I've been searching. But I really have a hard idea wrapping around my head around this idea that, okay, girl, you've done enough. You can stop. Like, this will just keep compounding until retirement and you'll all be good. It just feels like a weird concept.
Wait a second. You don't look that old, Jenna.
I was just going to say, Jenna looks quite young. Mark, if you were going to guess, what would you say?
38.
I was going to say late 30s also. I don't think you look like like the type of person who's like going to get wrapped around the axle about this, but how old are you?
I am 40.
All right. Okay. Well,
so she either has a ton of money or spends no money.
Well, I mean, all right. So when people ask that.
A combination of both, Mark.
Okay, maybe, that's awesome. Are you're gainfully employed, right? And you've got a chunk of money. So let me ask, besides, like, I don't have to run through every single one of your categories of spending, but generally speaking, have you run numbers through some sort of calculator that prove to you that you've done a good enough job of saving?
Yes. So the calculators say, girl, you're good.
So what, you don't believe them? Do you want permission from us? I mean, we're happy to grant permission.
It's this concept of you start your career, and I still remember being out of college, and I was someone who flew the nest as soon as I could and making $55,000 a year. And now I make significantly more than that. But, you know, it's this idea of how much are you actually going to spend? And I'm just like, well, future Jenna wants to live her best life, but what does that look like? And knowing what's the pace of inflation and how expensive everything is getting.
I get that. Okay, you know. So here's one way to kind of massage numbers to make it even more conservative. Maybe this will prove it to you. And Mark, we've done this all the time where, you know, people will come and talk to us and we'll say, all right, how much money? Let's just make up a number. Let's say that Jenna has $2 million that's saved already.
Well, I kind of want to know.
I don't know. If you feel comfortable telling us, that would be great. If you don't, it's okay.
Ballpark?
Ballpark-ish?
About 1.8.
Okay, so I said two. Huh, call me a liar. All right, so you got this money. You've saved it already. She's 40 years old. So one thing that you can do is you can plug into a calculator. You say, okay, how much is my money going to grow by, right? Now, if you look at the last, say, 25, 30 years, we're talking about 10% annualized growth for the stock market. But maybe you're not 100% stock. So maybe you say, I'll choose 8%. And maybe if you're really wimpy, you would choose 7%. Does that sound right, Mark?
Seven, yeah. I mean, even that's a great return. I'll take it.
Yeah, okay. So let's say it's 7%. So then what you can do is you can take a calculator and you can essentially say, put in a higher inflation rate than has been in the past, just to make sure you got that. So in the past, we used to run numbers at 2 or 2.5%. Run it at 3% inflation. And then that will inflate the amount of money you're spending today in the future. Mark, what's the beauty of the compounding interest is, and the whole reason to be an investor, is that if you're growing your assets at 7%, inflation's running at 3%.
Exceeds.
You're going to be okay. The bigger question I have, Jenna, is, are you sure that this is kind of your state of play is as it will be? In other words, do you have kids?
I do not have kids. I have two cute dogs.
Do you think you might want to have kids?
No.
By the way, I was just so I was on the show this morning on CBS Mornings, and the makeup artist told me the funniest story. And she's we were talking about how, like, when people go away with their kids, it's a trip, not a vacation. And so
very accurate,
right? And so she says, "Yeah, my friend brought her kids to visit me, and she was she goes, why didn't you ever have kids?" And the makeup artist said, "Because I chose alcohol." All right. So, I mean, the thing is, you could try to make this as conservative as possible, and you could even inflate the amount of money you're spending. Are you living well? Do you feel like you're depriving yourself?
Oh, yeah. I do not really deny myself, but I do think I'm reasonable. Like, I'm not going into the red every month. Like, I know what I have coming in, and I work within that budget. And that's just always how I've operated, but saving first.
So you're 40 years old. Like, is the goal to do nothing, or are you just going to, like, pick and choose what you want to do? You don't want to do what you're doing right now.
Well, I have a great job, but I think the AI of it all is a little intimidating. And, you know, when you've been working since you were 14, I'm like, you know, the idea of taking a couple years off to see what actually, like, inspires me and my attention instead of just that, okay, well, I got this job and now I need to get this promotion and do. I can't imagine doing what I'm doing now for the next 10 years.
Yes.
But I also don't know what else I would do.
If you said, I need to take a break, I need to figure out what brings me joy, or whether it's this year or next year, maybe you want to, what I would do is stockpile a little of cash,
right.
Make sure you've got enough money, like a year of your expenses that's in the bank and then some. And then you can start saying to yourself, I will take a leave of absence. Maybe your company would allow that. Maybe they're going to say, screw you. You've just got to say yes, you're in or you're out. But I like the idea that if you're going to explore it, that we plan for that exploration. You are lucky and you're smart because you've done the hard work to get here. The whole reason to save is not to just have a pile of money on a balance sheet. It is to actually do something different and have choices.
Can I just ask? I'm just curious. How much do you spend each month? I'm just curious. And you own your place, I am assuming?
No, I rent.
You rent.
I have a very good situation where I rent. My life blew up about a year and a half ago with the end of a very long-term relationship and needing to...
We hate your ex. FYI, we hate your ex. We just hate hate them.
He's a nice guy, but, you know, past diverging.
Douchebag.
And at that point, my expenses were about $6,000 a month. Now, $8,000 a month, $10,000 if I'm feeling, you know, fancy free.
That's a real number.
That is a real number.
A real number.
I mean, look, if you want to, like, you may be able to say to yourself, like, hey, if I want to make this change, what would I be willing to do? Would I be willing to spend less money? Would I be able to say, hey, you know what? I'm going back to $7,000 a month in expenses. And that way I will adjust the kind of career that I will have with that in mind. Would I be willing to do this for 2 more years to stockpile the cash I need to take some sort of sabbatical? These are the questions to ask.
Yeah. At $10,000 a month, I don't think this is 40. I'm quitting and I'm done forever. I don't see
that. I don't think, but I think what she's saying is, I need a reset. I need to figure out what is meaningful to me. What is a career I could really enjoy for a longer period of time? This is very interesting because I feel like this is a post-pandemic thing. We did not hear about this 10 years ago in the same way. We just didn't.
No.
And people feel burnt out, overwrought, and really do feel like, hey, I can't just work for the sake of working. So I'm game. I think we need to build a plan for you. Do you have a place where you could be flexible? Like, would they let you go to a 3/5 schedule or an 80% schedule, or would you have to leave completely?
I would have to leave.
And do you think, is there any sort of side hustle you could do, or is there something you could find that would be just a little bit of money coming in, i.e. also getting your health insurance?
I haven't done enough research. The health insurance of it all is one of, you know, the ways that we're all on the hook here.
Because even if you were to just leave and you don't have health insurance, we can add $1,000 a month to your expenses right there. Just know that. I mean, it might be less. You might qualify for some stuff, but, like, let's think of $1,000 a month. So now if we're $10,000 or $11,000 a month in expenses, you know, you really have to have $3 million that is saved at least to, like, just pump out, and I presume a lot of the money you have saved is in a retirement account that you would rather not access. So, I mean, I think that there are ways to do this, but this could be a great way for you to think about, like, I could do a financial plan. And this may be a case, Mark, where paying a fee-only financial planner could be worth it. It really could be. And have you ever talked to anybody about this, Jenna?
I've spoken to two financial planners in my life. The first tried to sell me whole life insurance, and
not a financial planner.
And the second tried to put 60% of my 401k in bonds. And
this is the problem.
This is a bad experience.
Always hear
already.
These stories.
I think that one thing that you could do is seek the guidance of a fee-only financial planner who will help you develop a plan of action to get you where you want to go. Now, it is also possible you do it yourself. And Mark, a lot of people can do it themselves.
Yep.
You would have to bang the numbers, and you'd really have to essentially build in enough of a runway to get you to the next position. So all you need to think about is, I have long-term money saved right now. I need short and intermediate-term money. Short-term money meaning, how am I going to cover myself if an emergency came up? So that's like the now. And then how long am I going to give myself to get to the next place? So maybe it's a year, maybe it's 18 months. And that you have to save, you know, those, you're going to have a couple hundred grand saved in an accessible cash account that you can use. And that way, you're not going to be flying by the seat of your pants. I think this is doable, but you've got to have a plan to get there.
It sounds like she's given herself the option. She's got 1.8. I'm assuming not all of it's probably in retirement accounts, so there's probably the chunk that she can get her hands on. But yeah, for sure have at least a couple of years in cash.
But I love the idea, Jenna, and you're an amazing saver. I mean, for all the other jillionaires out there, Mark, I mean, what is the lesson here? The lesson is, when you start early, when you sock your money away, you're giving yourself opportunity.
40 years old, 1.8.
Unbelievable. I mean, but also we're going to get hate mail.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Jenna. We're going to get hate mail. Is there anything else that we can do for you?
No, I just love the new format. I love your show. I listen to you guys on my commute to work, and I feel like, you know, you guys are doing great work out there. So I appreciate you.
Well, we totally appreciate you. So one thing to think about for the jillionaire moment here is, like, if anyone out there really wants to know what the best tip is, find a Jenna. Go get yourself a Jenna.
She is very eligible.
She is eligible.
Very attractive.
Rocking. And I think she's ready to go. Lady Gaga fans, line up. Jenna's your woman. Okay, gang. Jillionaires, it is time for the TikTok Takedown. This is where Mark and I watch a social media video that you guys send us. And if you're listening, I'm going to try to narrate this better, because I have done a terrible job of that, Mark. So today we are going to watch something from a gentleman called Ben Kelly One. Mark, he calls himself a small business acquisition specialist. So when we cue this up, just to be clear, there is a picture of industrial size washing machines and dryers. It says, it's perfectly legal to buy a $1 million laundromat using $0 of your own money. Now, Mark, anyone seeing that would obviously click on it.
Yes, but anytime I see it's perfectly legal.
Yeah, once they say perfectly legal, I'm a little bit worried. It's perfectly legal to buy a $1 million laundromat using $0 of your own money, because the U.S. government will lend you the money. I've done this with 8 small businesses that pay me 75 grand a month. Here's how it works. No gatekeeping. I find a boomer who owns a profitable business but wants to retire. I give them a lump sum so they can retire comfortably. They allow me to buy and take over their business as the new owner. I'll take good care of the business, keep it running. They'll help me find a good management team who can run the day-to-day. I own a cash-flowing business that pays me every month. The retiring owner gets $1 million or more to enjoy their retirement, but I don't have that much money to buy a business. Luckily, you don't need to. Here's how. There's a loan you can use called the SBA 7A loan. Banks will happily give you this loan as it's backed by the U.S. government. It can finance up to 90% of the purchase price, so you would only need to bring a 10% down payment. Or find an investor who'll pay 10 or 15% equity. I started doing this while I worked as a banker at J.P. Morgan. Can't wait to hear what he did. Now I work 20 hours a week and make $1 million a year from our portfolio. Oh, isn't it easy, Mark?
Jill, that was impressive. I have to say, that was impressive. Because people listening, those captions were flying by.
I've never heard you give me a compliment, so
that
I appreciate
impressive.
That. I really appreciate that. Okay, so first of all, I did go and check out some of the SBA loan situations. So an SBA loan is not like you're not borrowing money from the government. It is it's backed by the government, and but it's through financial institutions. So a bank, a credit union. And it is true that the loan amounts have gotten bigger. So there you can borrow up to a $10 million. But here's the thing that this dude doesn't say. A few different parts. So just the SBA part of it. One is the SBA loans are notoriously deep in paperwork and hard to qualify for.
I remember this during COVID. Like, this was like the SBA loans were everywhere.
There were many more free-flowing loans out there because they wanted to get businesses started.
Yes.
So today it's much harder. You do have to have money down. You have to have some sort of collateral. And it's really, he says 10, 15%. I see it's 20% in most of the documentation. So the idea that you somehow are going to be able to buy out somebody's business and get some other money to do this, then get your SBA loan.
Well, he says just go find some investor.
As if
they're standing on the corners.
What about the investor fairy goddesses that are out there? They all shower money around people who don't know how to actually own businesses. The other thing I thought was very funny. Remember, like, it's like an old, you may not know this, but like I came of age in Providence, Rhode Island. In Providence, Rhode Island, Mark, I'm not sure you realize this, but it was a mob town when I went to school.
Yes, yes.
And there were always these ways that people had like a shorthand for the things that they were doing.
Yeah.
So they would say, well, they bought a laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant you were laundering money.
Right.
And by the way, laundromats were known as ways to launder money because it was a cash business, right? And so the other term that they, do you ever hear this term? Oh, he went to college. It means they went to prison. I had a lot of friends I had mob associated friends. It was very instructive and interesting, much better than The Sopranos. By the way, there is a line in one Sopranos episode when they're going to New England and they go to Providence. And
to look at colleges or what? Were they? I don't remember.
They were in Providence, and he said the sick F's in Providence. That's what he described them as. So Mark, anything else that people need to know about why it's like what Ben Kelly one says, buying a laundromat is one of the most tax efficient things you can do.
I mean, look, the video starts with it's perfectly legal, right? I mean, that's how it starts. When I see that, I tend to just move on. When you and I don't like jumping through hoops, this video has about a dozen hoops to jump through. I'm not saying it can't be done. Yes, there's small business loans. Yes, you can open up your own business. But
buying someone else's business and like, oh, I got this.
Getting investors, yada, yada, yada. No,
it's really the nuance is lost here. So, Mark, rinse, repeat, repel. Just say no to a laundromat. All right. With that, at Ben Kelly One, thanks so much for giving us this fodder. And thanks so much for all the people who make this show happen. Alan Pang, audio expert.
Okay.
Justin Sherman, video expert.
Right.
We have Isaac Grafstein, producer extraordinaire.
Yep.
We have Emma Osman, who's also, I guess she's AP or she's like chief operating officer of the show. We have Samara Lipman, social media queen. And then we have a new deputy overlord and the overlord in chief. Thank you all for making this show. We so appreciate you. And for everyone watching and listening, don't forget, you can always find us, JillOnMoney.com. Click the Contact Us button. Come join us. Send us all the stuff that you're finding. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.